Hello, patrons. Welcome to the post show here for episode 66. Probably one of our most interesting episodes in a very long time.
Episode 666. Yeah. We had to have a demon in this one. We had to. It was a given.
Yeah. There was a lot of shit that went on.
Seriously.
I think before we get to the back half of the episode, you guys talked a lot about death.
This was a heavy first parter, hey?
Yeah, it was pretty philosophical.
Yeah, it was.
I don't know. Did anyone want to jump in and expand on that, or should we just leave it what we said in the show?
Yeah, I mean, well, like, I can talk a little bit about, like, the universe and stuff, but, like, as players, like, I know, Zeke, that kind of stuff in RPGs, that, like, let's be characters talking about heavy stuff, I know that's your jam. Do you have any thoughts?
Absolutely, man. Yeah. No, I relish opportunities to talk to either NPCs or PCs about, like, real issues that everyone has to, like, faces in a fantasy setting. Like,
right. Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter if it's set in space, if it's set in you know, old-timey 1886 or whatever the fuck. It doesn't matter. Like, we all have emotions and we all deal with not being, whether you want to call it death, you know, the wheel of life or whatever. We all have, like, ways that we deal with it. And in this particular universe, like, it's even more interesting because of that idea that we go and then we come back. And
yeah.
Gods are things that we can actually see and talk to.
Yeah. Well, like in like I agree. I think in role playing games, it's a cool venue to explore, like, larger questions. This is true of, like, fiction generally, right? Where you're like, let's explore. There's lots of moments in previous shows, like in Swan Song, conversations between Mr. Sicarian and Pi about, like, the nature of violence, of, like, the value of human life, that kind of thing. Like, these things come up, and I really like them too. It's interesting in a setting like this where the givens are different, though, where it's like, you probably shouldn't kill yourself. But wait, like, shouldn't you? Like, I don't... we have this whole other assumed morality, which I think makes it, like, extra interesting, for me at least. That's what I like about where I'm like, yeah.
Honestly, when she was going towards the fire the very first time, she was going towards the fire, that's why I didn't make a move to stop her, because, you know, I respect her decision. But once she started questioning it, that's when I felt like it was right for me to step in and, you know, solidify it one way or the other. Is there stuff out there that you want to accomplish? If not, be my guest.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the great uncertainty for characters in the world of Court of Swords is whether the things that they do, like, these questions of free will still exist for them, because it's like, am I doing what I'm doing because I want to do it? Or am I doing this because it's my fate? One of those things is good and one is bad, right? Like, if you're like, it is my fate to suffer and be a member of the Aharisa and, like, see everyone I know die and, like, live through this, then doing anything else means I'm stepping back. I'm accumulating dharma by resisting my fate. But if it's my fate to die in fire right now, to give up and start over, but you can never know. The gods aren't going to be like, here's your path, go do it. You just have to guess based on, like, fortunes being told and, like, all these other things. So there's still very much that uncertainty about, like, what is right and what isn't vis-a-vis, like, one continuing their life in a dangerous situation or whatever.
Yeah, that's true. Dan or Max, I didn't really say anything character-wise, but I think that was on purpose. That wasn't just because I don't think Solly, like, looks at death the way that everyone else does, and I didn't think that.
Well, no, because turtles have a whole other thing, right?
Yeah, like, and I didn't think I didn't want to just be like, whatever, if you want to do it. Like, I kind of expressed that when I spoke after the fact. It's like, hey, if you're going to kill yourself, whatever, but please do it when it makes sense for us as well.
Right? Yeah. Don't screw us over with this. Like,
wait till it's most advantageous to us.
Yeah. Exactly.
What's great is. Sully is to Tortles what Higgins was to people from Aesa, in that I, like, don't have a bunch of, like, really firm ideas about what Tortles are like in this world. So I'm, like, taking kind of cues from you and from what you've said about Tortle society. And I'm getting this impression that they're pretty pragmatic, where it's like, are you sick of living? Fine. Then just go drown.
Yeah. We ain't got time for that shit. We ain't got time.
Like, it's just, there's no point in arguing about it. Like, you get to do what you want to do.
Why are
you
still talking about it?
Go down. Don't waste our time, and don't, and also don't, like, you know, blow yourself up and destroy a bunch of other people while you do it. Just like do the thing and get shut up. Just move on. We got things to do.
Right.
So I saw that. I saw that total like pragmatism in that.
I think
that scene.
This there was, we did a Q&A for Patreon a week ago or maybe 2 weeks ago. Maybe it was last week. And I said in that episode, someone asked like, what is your favorite thing about your character in Court of Swords thus far? And I answered that it was still kind of a blank template. Like I had ideas for what Solly's goals were, but I didn't have like I didn't have a pure base, or I didn't have the actual reasons for that stuff. I think this episode, I know exactly what the reasons are.
Interesting.
Which is only because I think it just makes for a fun dynamic in the group.
Yeah.
That'll be fun to play around, but a lot, that has to do some with the back end of the episode. So I didn't really do much except for I thought about like talking to Hassan, but I don't think Hassan and Solly would get, they're not best friends. They will not even be acquaintances.
I mean they both, Hassan and Solly Hava, have pragmatism in common, right? And yeah, they both are like, sometimes you just got to do shit and move on and like get on with it. But Hazan's is driven from a very dogmatic place. He's not a pragmatist, he's a dogmatist. Like he has this set of things that are right and nothing else is correct, and that is what you do, which makes him very effective and very driven, but he's not flexible at all. And I think despite Sully's pragmatism, it gives him he has a flexibility that puts the two of them very much at odds.
Totally. Yeah. The other thing that happened in the first episode is Framus pissed into a poison vial.
Fuck. <damn. laughs> I love the fact that you have this conversation with Hassan where you're just like, yes, I will be a good servant of the tower and I will see, you know, I'll see this through. And then you're like, I'm going to pee in her poison jar.
Isn't that the most pure thing as well? Yeah. Sorry, the most pure tower driven thing.
I got a ticket to do whatever I want with no consequences.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
That's the fucking grim thing, right? Like it's a whole thing. Like you're free from the cycle of reincarnation, which means all the good shit that you're doing doesn't matter. No one is watching. Mm-hmm. Right? So that like not betraying Berg and like being a decent guy there, like you did that for yourself and heaven doesn't care. But also, mm-hmm, you could do whatever shit you want. You could be as attached as you like. You can be gluttonous and wrathful. And heaven is like, when they go to check the ledger, your soul stopped accumulating dharma when you died the first time. So your apostasy, you're joining the tower, none of that counts anymore. Which I'm really interested to see which way Ramus goes and how this plays out. Because it could be both incredibly freeing, then also like, nothing I do matters. Like you can't have any impact on the only metric that really matters, and that's the escalation of your soul.
It's true,
work towards enlightenment. Your life ended a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even
consider that. Back.
I thought you were just being kind of trolling that, but now it makes sense why you're doing that, because you don't.
Yeah, like
it doesn't matter.
For right now, it's like I'm that euphoria of like the parents are gone. All like they're gone. I can do whatever I want, and then Towards the end of the stereotypical movie where the kid's by himself, like he starts missing the parents, and I missed that.
Oh my God, you're,
and, like,
you're Kevin McAllister now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like Home Alone right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Mara and the Farang are the burglars, and I got to take care of them, and then...
Who's your mom in that situation? Perfect. Also, more importantly, who's the guy in the park with the birds? Because those are some deep questions.
I think he just wants to see his son.
I think the guy with the shovel is Berg when it comes down to it. I think Berg is the guy from the creepy next door neighbor who ultimately is going to bring Ramus around.
Maybe so.
I want to know where's John Candy in all this? That's what's important to me.
That's true. Yeah. Sitting in the back.
It's not a perfect analogy. We're working on it. We're working on it, but you know.
Yeah. You got to play some polka.
Polka, polka? No, nothing.
I haven't seen that movie in like 20 years. I should go watch it. Oh, is it? Has anyone watched that recently? Is it just terrible?
Yes. No. I mean, sort of. I watch it. I try to watch it every Christmas. It's on my list, and it's bad in the way that like you expect it to be, but it's like a John Hughes movie.
Dude, that real talk, that furnace scene scared the fuck out of me as a kid, man. That shit terrified me. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Yeah.
It was bad stuff.
The furnace is one of the more difficult bosses in the Super Nintendo version of Home Alone.
Oh, just God.
In case you're looking for a cool retro game to play next Christmas.
Jesus Christ.
Home Alone for the Super Nintendo.
Yeah. Christ. Yeah, so that was first half. Yep. Cut to the second half where shit just kind of hit the fan in all worst / best possible ways.
That's so good.
Brace yourselves.
Yeah, where? I don't even know where to begin with that type of stuff, with that stuff. There was a lot that happened.
Well, so, I mean, like, well, yeah.
I do have a question to start off with. What? The thing, the scroll was what turned, or what revealed him to be the Cambion, or what turned him, or we don't know.
Yeah, so the Mara, you know, tough and cool as they like to believe that they are still subject to the rules of reality, right? So right. when presented with miracles, they recoil. They're still demons, right? So the power of Christ compels them. So when you held forth a crushing artifact of the tower, the Mara was like, and like tried to resist, and you could still see the effects of the possession, right?
Okay.
And so that's what happened.
I didn't that didn't click for me as to why they turned, but now it does.
Yeah. He had been courted by the Mara and gave in because he was a man of
he wanted power.
Desirous nature and totally. he wanted power. And also like he was desperate for control because the city had come apart. The immortals had been like, yo, we're gonna go into our secret immortal room. Just hold on a minute. We're gonna go. And so he was like, well shit, what do we do? Our leaders have left. Someone needs to seize control. And then the Mara were like, no, we can help you with that. And so he Boromir'd, right? He was like, we could use the ring against Sauron, and it didn't go great for him. Had his body been able to recover properly, maybe the Ahari Sa would have become plagued by demons and become a demon army, and it would have been a whole thing. Thankfully, you were here to stop them. However, now it looks like you just came in and killed their Lord Commander. So,
yeah,
we'll see how that plays out.
I still think from a player perspective, and I'm interested to hear how I'm completely wrong. I still think enslaving him is like the best possible outcome in that entire situation.
I mean, best is relative, and I'm sure the other players have opinions, but
right,
I was excited, and there's this feeling you get as a game master sometimes where something happens and you're like, I have not thought about this. I don't know what this means or looks like, and my brain was just racing. I was like an hour ahead being like, oh, fuck, what do I do? Okay, so what would happen if you put this bracer on the thing and you like enslave Amara, one of these demons, and like, what would that be like? And I was ready for a whole like scene where you interrogate him and stuff. But then I was like, oh, but these things are just, they're pain sticks. Maybe let's let this play out and see. But who knows? I would have had you been able to bind him between episodes, I would have had to have figured out like, he probably, like as we saw, he can't plane shift. He can't flee.
Right. And when he did that, I was like, this is a sure ticket. We're going to learn so much.
It inhibits teleportation for sure, because that would be built in. But I was like, this is an artifact meant to punish criminals so they can't get away, but you have to give them the free will and then you encourage them to behave. So
it would have been some real fucked up like conditioning.
Had you been able to reduce him to zero or close prior to him charming you, he probably would have surrendered. He probably would have been like, I can't run away to hell. Fine. I submit to you, O Lord and Master. And then he would have like tried to undermine that shit later. But
yeah.
I mean, it was a solid plan for sure. Had you succeeded at that will save,
well,
it would have been a whole. There were lots of things throughout that fight where a single roll would have twisted it in a different
direction. Oh yeah, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, the other thing, apart from everything you just said, there's the Berg factor, where the second I whip the fucking bracer out. Berg is.
There is the Berg factor.
Yeah, like.
Yeah.
BMX.
Yeah, the BMX fucking busted BMX through the door.
I gotta say, I was really impressed because one of the hardest challenges, and I know we've seen a little bit about this, but one of the hardest challenges in this kind of role playing, which is to say, like, you're ostensibly a team fighting against the world, one of the hardest things is to be told, like, cool, you're on my team now. Now do it. And not be like, okay, how do I still play my character so I don't feel like I'm betraying the narrative, but also I don't want to be that guy who's like, cool, JP, I murder your character, and then Zeke, I murdered your character. Oh, I'm all alone. This sucks.
Yeah,
right. Like, you don't want to you don't want to kill anybody's fun, but like I was really impressed. That was cool where you were able to be like, this makes sense for my character, but also I'm charmed, so I'm gonna like do these things. And there was a lot of nuance there. And I think it's easy to kind of look at Berg and be like, hey, Berg's so dumb, but like Berg is a dumb character being played by what I think to be a pretty smart role player. And so I'm glad we got to see that.
Thanks, yeah. Man.
Yeah, without a doubt.
No, it was really cool.
I do feel like I'm not the smartest person ever in the world, but I think so many people get wrapped up in the fact that, you know, I'm not going to be like the guy, I'm so fucking smart, but, you know, a lot of people, I think, 20 start wisdom. To associate.
Yeah, not like Raymond.
Which means I'm very wise. No, yeah. You know, since I play a dumb character, right? So a lot of the times, like all the cogs going around and thinking in my head on how to play Berg accurately, you know, doesn't actually get noticed, which is fine, because that's, if I'm doing it right, you shouldn't notice. I should seem really, really dumb. And I am also dumb sometimes in roleplay, but I appreciate it.
Yeah, but
it was cool. I could see you doing things because you wanted Berg to, like, you wanted to show Berg's character. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
And that's some of the best stuff with role-playing, in my opinion, is, for me anyways, I love trying to make sure that it fits, it makes sense narratively, you know, and it makes sense the most to that particular character in that scenario. Those are the challenges that I like the most about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was definitely a point where I think I said, like, the best option here would be to put the bracer on Berg. Mm-hmm. Because in terms of like living as a character in that world, that's like the only way I would have gotten away. But then Adam presented me with another one. Dan did, when he said to Berg to go attack him, or else, you know, you have to do that. And I think that kind of saved me. I would have probably just ran away if I wasn't in that AOE. I think I would have just, like, left the party for a time being. But
yeah,
now it's even more interesting because I'm going to fucking wake up to the three of, probably to Berg fucking just, like, slapping me.
Well, I mean, so you're going to, you'll have, as a group, a few moments before the rest of the cops show up to, like, make an illusion or do whatever you need to do to be like, we got to figure this shit out.
I'm unconscious, and because it was, I think the ruling is, because it was magical damage, I take death saves, so we're gonna still have to go.
Technically, you're dying, but Ramus can bring you back with.
Oh, I guess that's true. Yeah, you can just heal.
Even one hit point of
that's true. Yeah,
so but you will still. Yeah,
that'll be super interesting because
I can too now. By the way,
oh, I guess that's right. You do heal. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe narratively it makes sense that, like, we just kind of split, because Kali's probably not too upset with me. He's upset with me, but he's not as upset as Berg is.
Well, and y'all have to make a decision now.
Oh, I didn't know you had. Oh, sorry.
I was gonna say y'all have to make a decision in the sense that you know that the Lord Commander was possessed. So you kind of have a choice to, like, try to prove that case. In which case, the Aharisa have no leader. There's evidence of demonic corruption in their ranks. They're probably gonna fall apart.
Right.
In which case, the Tower will have a distinct advantage. Or you'll have to come up with a different story that lets them, like, keep their shit together. It's you have a lot of power in this. I mean, that's situation. Where you're walking on a knife's edge, which is really.
Aren't
cool.
you guys?
And that's where my idea.
Aren't you guys glad I peed in the vial instead of killed her? She's still alive and can vouch for us.
Yeah. She saw some fucked up shit, though. Like,
she's also pretty mad that you made her drink your pee.
Yeah, I did drink. She did drink my pee, so she's gonna be.
Well, not only that, but
she's not excited about that. That's not a good thing.
You took her choice to die away from her.
Yeah.
And replaced her with pee.
It was, she expected death and instead got your piss. Like, normally that's like, haha, prank. This one's like, I was ready to die.
I'll just say that I was trying to save her life because I knew she had a more important meaning from the gods.
I saw your future, and in it, you drank my pee.
Yeah.
It's good.
The moment you got that vial, I'm like, this is not going to go well. Something's going to happen here.
I got to say, I was really surprised that no one, like, there. I saw chat be like, what's Dan doing? And when I described the vial as being, like, full of a, like, yellowish liquid, People were like, ooh, gross poison. But no one was like, he peed in it. That's pee. There was
yeah,
there.
No, I knew right away when he's like, hey, I had to go take a leak. I was like, uh-huh. But like,
uh-huh.
Yeah. I think I did. I even did the thumbs up thing in the moment.
It's really cool that we can play this game. And this speaks to role-playing generally. We can play this game that's like, in one moment, the tense battle for survival against demons, and in another moment, these like heartfelt conversations about what it means to choose to live in dangerous times, and then also the classic, like just dumb horseshit D&D stuff of like, hey, I made an NPC drink pee. That's funny.
Yeah.
Something's never changed. I've been playing this fucking game for 25 years. Still funny. Still funny making NPCs do dumb stuff.
For sure.
I mean, yeah. And for also sure. Just, I mean, seeing Ramus's reaction, seeing Dan's reaction.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That
was
good stuff.
I was crying. It was so funny. I love
that. Yeah, it was good.
That was good for sure. So, yeah, next episode's going to be me and Berg are going to have a... we're going to sit down and have a conversation. We're
going to have words.
There's going to be words, yeah. Definitely.
and that's... I mentioned at the beginning, like... I didn't really know story-wise or like backstory-wise, really, what Solly's point was, but I got a good reason now. It all makes sense.
Good.
It all ties in together with being an illusionist and finding Berg and having a fucking bracer and all that shit. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it'll be good. And Berg's not going to have any of it. He's not going to give a fuck. Mm-hmm. That's going to be better for sure.
Yeah.
Dan, Zeke, anything else you guys want to add into the post show?
No, I'm excited to start slinging a few spells here and there that have verbal components until I find the find my focus or whatever. But I've got three verbal only spells.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That hopefully will manifest himself. And I'm sorry if I got a little too like. Acty schmacty or you know nerdy about like how the spells come about and embellished a little bit.
It's perfect, yeah. Because D&D does have a massive blind spot in that regard where you're like, I'm a cleric now. Heals.
Yeah.
It's like why? That's, how did that happen? It doesn't matter, I gained a level.
That's more welcome to me than just somebody being like, also now because I'm multi-classing, I'm using this spell. Like most people would just be like that. To actually have a reason for you know that and have it blend into what's actually happening narratively and action wise, that makes a lot of sense. And
it's cool to see. Mm-hmm. It's much cooler.
Yeah, it's cool.
Dan, anything you want to add in?
No, I'm just so satisfied still.
Just tweet after this. She drank one pee.
Yeah,
I can't wait until our panel at PAX. I'm like, so what? You know, if you think back on your time with roleplay, what's your favorite moment? Dan, was it the pee thing? And then you'll
It was.
Yeah.
Funny wisdom. I would
do it again.
I'm glad you had that moment of like doing what you did because I can remember the first time I played a cleric with command back in 2E when it was a lot crazier than it is now, and I told like another wizard to strip, like behind a wall. In between or in front of two party members, and it was kind of the same just bullshit. It doesn't matter to the story at all, but it's still super fun, and I'll always remember that for sure in the world of D&D. So I'm glad you had that moment, Dan. We're all happy for you. It was good. We enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Well, cool. That's it. I will see you guys on Wednesday, and we'll do another episode and see if Berg kills me. It'll be a lot of fun.
Sounds good. I'm looking forward to it.
We'll see you guys next time. Thanks again, patrons. We're out. Bye-bye.